1067.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
A fun weekend. It is day one. Golly, man, whoever sits likes to sit on the floor again. Day one, really, of the first full day, even though it's officially day two of the NCAA tournament. And, man, some great games, starting with the first four yesterday, on through some very entertaining games. We'll keep you updated on that. We'll preview Auburn football practice tomorrow, which is open to the public. We'll preview Auburn baseball. Got a lot to talk about today, and we welcome you in on the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio.
That's right, and you get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
Hour number one of The Drive brought to you by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they also, of course, are the sponsors of our hotline, 334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. How you liking March Madness thus far?
Oh, I think it's been outstanding. I mean, to this point. I mean, last night, UCLA and Michigan State, what a game that was. Big come-from-behind win for the Bruins.
Really, really was. I mean, They were down 14, weren't they?
They were down 11 at the half, and it was.
I think they were down 14 earlier. Came all the way back, and so our, you know, the wrap up game of the first four is an overtime game, and you had two other 1 point games yesterday.
You finished last night with an overtime game. UCLA coming back to beat Michigan State and advance out of the first four. You started today with an overtime game. Florida and Virginia Tech went to overtime.
And I had Virginia Tech, so oh well. But I didn't have them going deep. But, I mean, I was feeling pretty good about that early on, and then Virginia Tech could not hit anything for the longest time. But very entertaining basketball.
And we're down to a close one, which would be
unbelievable.
Pretty shocking outcome here. We'll take you through the final 8 seconds. Ohio State and Oral Roberts are tied. Ohio State with the basketball, going to play for a buzzer beater. Step back jumper is off the rim. And Oral Roberts, number 15 seed, Oral Roberts, they're going to go to overtime against the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, that is amazing. Now, who had Oral Roberts in this?
Oh, no.
Have Ohio State going a little deeper?
Generally, the people who advance 15 and 16 seeds are, you know, either alumni or they have some sort of connection to the school, or they, you know, they hate rooting for the opponent, or, you know, it's something like that. But nobody just generally on a hunch. I can't imagine. You know, you've been watching a lot of Oral Roberts basketball. So yeah, the Ohio State Buckeyes, a team that I'd say outside of Baylor, the team that most people have advancing out of that region, or at the very least going far in that region, in some jeopardy as they go to overtime against Oral Roberts.
Oh, as I look at the bracket that I just gave you some info about, I've got Ohio State in the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean,
that wouldn't be wonderful for me there, but you know, I don't ever expect to win these things, and it would be fun to pull for if Oral Roberts did knock him off, to pull for Oral Roberts to keep me alive by advancing as deep as I can.
I don't expect to win these things either, but when it happens, you know, like it did 2 years ago when I won the ESPN 106.7 bracket pool in the 2019 season. Like, I mean, when these things happen, it's nice, and it's been nice to be, you know, defending champion for these last 2 years. I've retired from that competition. So I don't want to
retire from what competition?
The ESPN, you know, any sort of ESPN bracket competition that's going on.
Oh, since you won the million for getting them all right.
Yeah,
I didn't recall you doing that. I thought you won the local one.
I didn't talk about it.
It's pretty amazing that ESPN says nobody's ever won. That's what you went by.
Was
anyway,
it the local
nobody.
One or the $1 million? I forget.
Yeah,
which
I think
one.
It may have been.
I
the
forget
local
which one I won 2 years ago. Now that I think about it, but no, it's I thought you got one of the games I was really looking forward to in the first round did not disappoint earlier today. Colgate and Arkansas was wild.
I thought, oh my goodness, because I decided to run Arkansas into the Sweet 16. And while I'm watching Florida and Virginia Tech, which was back and forth, when I first look up, I mean, it had been fairly even. I think it was tied at 17. The next thing I see is 33-19 Colgate. And I went, are you serious?
Oh, in the first half, you had a 14-0 or a 13-2 run, I think, for Colgate.
16-2.
That's right.
16-2 to get them out to 33-19.
And then
at halftime, though, they're trailing by three.
They're trailing by three because Arkansas immediately followed. once Colgate pushed the lead to 14, Arkansas went on a 17-0 run.
Yeah, that's how they wrapped up the final 4 minutes after the 4 minute timeout. That's how they wrapped it up in the first half.
And then you're thinking, oh, Colgate's on the mat, but the first 5 minutes of the second half were about as perfect as it gets for Colgate, and it was a back and forth game. Arkansas finally pulls away.
Arkansas ran away from them late
at the end, but Colgate had a second half lead, so that was a really fun game, and Arkansas advances. They'll play Texas Tech, who defeated Utah State. So some of the really exciting round of 32 games are falling into place, and Arkansas, a team that, you know, some people thought might be a little vulnerable because of the style of play and the fact that they were facing a Colgate team that was the computers seemed to like so much, and with good reason. I mean, one of the stats they showed, I mean, Colgate had the best 3-point percentage in the conference, one of the best in the nation, and their opponents really struggled hitting three-pointers. Now, the flip side is when you talk about Colgate's schedule, they only played four teams, and they played them three or four times each in the Patriot League.
That can skew your stats
a little bit with Colgate. And none of those teams had Arkansas's talent, so it was not exactly a bit of a step up for Colgate, and it looked like it there at the end. And Eric Musselman wins his first tournament game as the head coach of the Razorbacks.
Yeah, so again, we'll keep you updated. Oral Roberts with the first couple of buckets in the overtime, leading Ohio State number two, 15, leading a two. That has happened very few times, but it has happened.
Oh, it's rare. Florida Gulf Coast as a 15 seed beat Georgetown about 10 years ago in a game that sort of turned into a rout. I think Duke. Did Duke lose a 15? Did Duke lose a 15-2?
Seems like they did
one of these years, but there. I mean, it's
happened just a handful of times.
It's not something that happens every year. It's pretty rare, and I wouldn't count Ohio State out, even though they trail by three heading into the final 3 minutes.
Yeah, they just scored to cut it to three
of overtime.
Yep, 3-2-1-13-90. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. We'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind? If you want to talk about what has gone on thus far here in the early going to the NCAA tournament. Mentioned Auburn football tomorrow. I nearly was late today. I was out around Bent Creek and decided to come that way. I thought, oh, this will be better than coming back and around on University there. I was wrong. Traffic coming in from Bent Creek, Dan, looks like a football Saturday. I think there will be
at
least 5,000 people downtown. When I left downtown a while ago, downtown is full of middle-aged to, well, let's put it this way, 30 to 50-year-old couples decked out in orange and blue. It's like, it's not Camp War Eagle. It looks like a football weekend. I think there are tons of people that have decided to make it an Auburn football weekend.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I hadn't really noticed. I guess I went a different way and didn't really notice too much traffic. But that's interesting if there are people in town just to go to the practice tomorrow, if that's what you suspect.
Well, I think to use this as an excuse, nice weekend, get away, come in, haven't been in Auburn for a while, you know, walking around downtown, shopping there, going to get something to eat, then go watch practice tomorrow.
Right, and what are you really excited about seeing tomorrow? You're going to go.
Oh, absolutely. I've got I have my depth chart, and Shelley sent out the roster. Oh, man, that's something I was going to try to do. See if we can figure out a way to print the roster for tomorrow, because I have a roster for tomorrow to be able to watch. No, I want to see who lines up where and with what group. I know that doesn't mean that's the way it's going to end, but it's pretty telling usually the first day in pads to see who is where and with what group, because that tells me these are players that the coaches have targeted as either leaders or guys who have done well understanding the vernacular and the first few days before they go into full pads.
Well, and you also can use it as a reference point when we see who starts
right
in the fall. You can say, well, this is a guy who started spring, you know, with the third team.
We've seen that, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something where, you know, now we'll get a chance. You're right. It's not by no means should you take what you see Saturday and say, well, this is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to look like when the season starts.
No.
But it's a snapshot of where we are right now.
But it's an opportunity for those players that are lining up with the ones to see if they can hold on.
Yeah, and it probably means less this year than in previous seasons, because the coaching staff isn't even basing it on
true.
Like they're not basing it on
right.
On
they don't have their prior history with the players.
Exactly. I mean, it's probably even more subject to change from tomorrow to the start of the season than it would be if you had a coach returning for his, you know, well into his tenure as the coach. So I think that's going to be, you're right, seeing where guys line up and if there's anyone that I mean, I mean maybe you can catch someone's eye tomorrow, but if there's anyone who has done enough to be something of a surprise in the starting lineup or as one of the first few guys off the bench, you know, that's something to look for too. I mean, we were talking yesterday with Justin Ferguson about some of the players who had been name-checked by other players in interviews, whether it's outgoing players or veteran players, and I feel like some of those names are going to be people that are going to have a lot of attention on them tomorrow from folks wanting to say, I mean, the defensive backs, namely, that have been checked a couple of times, maybe the linebackers, defense. I mean, is there a player in particular that you'd like to see? I don't even know how to phrase it. Right, we're going into a practice. It's been so long since we talked about open practice that it's. I mean, is there an individual that you're excited about, you know, having, you know, a chance to break into the starting lineup?
I don't know. There's so many, yeah. But I'll say something. I haven't had a chance to read everybody's stories since our media opportunities earlier today. But there was a name that was mentioned today that I called Scott Bagwell and said, this is interesting. Smoke Monday was the first player we talked to today, and either Brian or Jason one asked him about other players that have been working there. And now what everybody has taken from this story has been Ladarius Tennyson, because that's the first name he mentioned that's been working at safety. And he mentioned Chris Thompson. But they said, but he was asked, who has caught his eye among the other guys working back there? And then when he mentioned Ladarius Tennyson, people went, oh, Ladarius Tennyson's working at safety, and it sort of went in that direction. But you know the names that he said? He said Ladarius Tennyson, Chris Thompson.
And Nehemiah Pritchett, right?
No, he didn't. Oh. He said and Trey Elston.
And well, he mentioned Nehemiah Pritchett at nickel.
That's right. Yeah, that's later. But I think everybody just sort of went, oh, okay, that's a walk-on, move on. I'm intrigued a little bit by that.
Yeah, I get less excited about the walk-ons, I'll be honest. Even if they're being name-checked. Well, I mean, now they're ruling out. But
now, the reason I wanted to mention this, because he's an Auburn High kid who played 2 years at West Alabama and sat out last year transferring.
And the fact that he's a veteran makes it a little bit more interesting.
Right. Was a two-year starter, led the team in breakups and pass coverage at West Alabama and transferred.
He would qualify as a dark horse
There
are a lot of defensive backs I think people are expecting more from than him. So that's an interesting name.
I sort of like it when I hear something like that. I want to just keep an eye and see what he does tomorrow, since he's a local kid.
I thought you were going to lean towards Pritchett.
We've been talking about that.
We know about Neil.
I mean, Jason has been saying for a month he'd sort of like to see Ladarius Tennyson at the safety and see what they do at the nickel. Remember,
right? And if they feel like, either with Jalen Simpson or with the incoming defensive back from West Virginia, if they feel like they've got something with Nehemiah Pritchett inside, it would represent something of a change of philosophy. We didn't see him inside very much in the previous two seasons, did we? With Nehemiah Pritchett, I mean, you didn't see him.
No,
I feel like he was all, I mean, not exclusively is probably the wrong way, but he was outside for much of his playing time.
Yes, he was.
And it would represent something of a shift of philosophy.
But it would make sense though, because he's probably the number four corner. So why not give him the opportunity? He's a good enough cover guy. Why not go ahead and slide him inside and have more of a true corner at nickel? And we talked about that. Ohio State's on the ropes here.
Ohio State's on the ropes, Bill.
Yes, they are down three with 23 seconds to play.
Absolutely, yeah. They had an opportunity there. I think Oral Roberts, within one. Yeah, yep. They got the stop and Oral Roberts able to.
So you can just hand me back what I handed you. We'll just forget.
I already spent it.
I know.
No, and by the way, speaking of, we'll switch to TNT here after this game. Oregon State all over Tennessee early.
That does not surprise me.
With 3 minutes left in the first half, 27-14, the Pac-12 champion Beavers nearly doubling up on the Tennessee Volunteers.
No, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I sort of had a feeling that Tennessee was not going to be around long, and I didn't have a great feeling about Florida making it past today, but they did.
Oregon State and Georgetown, as Ohio State hits a desperation three and makes it a one-point game with 14 seconds left. Oregon State and Georgetown are two teams that I'm really interested in today, because there's not a lot of historic examples of middling Power 5 team that needed to win its way into the NCAA tournament by winning their conference tournament. They do so, and then they succeed in the NCAA tournament too.
But you've seen Power 5 teams that didn't necessarily have the year that they expected get hot, win their tournament, and go deep.
Right, but not teams that were out the weekend, like when the conference tournament starts. I guess that's the difference. Is like when you look at, like, Georgetown was 8-12 when the Big East tournament started. If they win today, like, it's almost, and I know it's just one.
They win
game.
Today, they guarantee themselves a better than 500 record.
I know, but even if it's just one game, the idea that you could go 8-12 and then figure it out in the postseason to that degree, to where not only are you winning your conference tournament, but you can win a tournament game or two. I don't know. It would represent a sort of a new. I mean, I guess it's always been there as a possibility. But usually, I mean, you remember that Georgia team that somehow won the SEC tournament 10 years ago, 12 years ago, the tornado in Atlanta. That team.
Oh, he walked. Yeah.
Oh, they didn't call it. Ohio State looking for a three.
Oh, that was a tip.
And they had plenty of time. Have another chance.
Oh, they got a wide open top of the key and missed the couldn't three. And Ohio State is done.
Oral Roberts has eliminated Ohio State.
Ohio State is done. They got a great look on that final three from the top of the key with nobody on the guy. They had three shots, three threes, down three, and Oral Roberts has become the latest 15 seed to knock off the number two and break my bracket.
And speaking of breaks, we'll go to break on that. We'll talk some more about the NCAA tournament and everything else going on in the world of sports. Stick around. You're listening to The Drive.
You're live. live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Tennessee with a last-second bucket at the half to pull within 14 of Oregon State. Oregon State leading the Vols 33-19. You always got to have a 12 or two. Always have to have a 12 or
and
two.
And this is an Oregon State team that just last weekend beat three tournament teams in 3 days. UCLA, then Oregon, then Colorado to win the Pac-12 tournament. It's the only way the Beavers were getting into this thing. Was as the Pac-12 tournament champions. They ran that gauntlet, and they're carrying some of that momentum. Jason Caldwell and Sonny Smith both talked about, and it's something that gets mentioned every time the tournament comes around, is all things being equal. You know, it's one thing if you got like a superstar freshman, but you love having experienced guards.
Oh, yes.
You love having veterans who have played a lot and don't get too up or too down based on the situation. Oregon State's got two seniors in the backcourt that were a big part of that run through last week's tournament, and they're taking it to Tennessee right now going into the half.
Yeah, and I heard a lot of the, and here are the air quotes, experts just going ahead and Tennessee, how deep Tennessee could go. And they may. We'll see if they can turn things around. There have been quite a few teams that today, Dan, have looked dead early on and have charged back.
Today? Yesterday too.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you look.
Well, I mean, during the day today. I mean, Tennessee wouldn't be the first team today, as well.
No, Tennessee would not be. Arkansas was down 14 early, rallied back to beat Colgate.
Yeah, won by 17.
Won that game going away against a Colgate team. Put up a pretty good fight. We've seen Ohio State fall. That happened right before we went to commercial just now. The Oral Roberts beats Ohio. What's the mascot there at Oral Roberts? You know that one off the top of your head? Anyone?
I used to.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. I was going to say Baylor. Remember Baylor
they're
was
not
down.
They're not
Baylor was down most of the first half to Hartford. But
they've pulled away in that one. I know. Baylor.
Oh yeah, they won by 20. They won by 26.
The mascot is not the Roberts.
Well, it's not even over. They're up by 26.
Like they're not the Oral Roberts.
It's the
Golden Eagles of Oral Roberts University. And you know what? Learn the nickname.
Because Oral Roberts was he was the longtime evangelist.
And Oral Roberts will head into the round of 32 after knocking off Ohio State. That happened just moments ago in the NCAA tournament. First big upset in the tournament as one of the top 8 seeds in the overall draw is eliminated on the opening day.
Is that the first lower seed to have won?
I believe that is the first.
I think you're right. I think everything's been chalk.
I think it's been all chalk until Ohio State. I don't know if anybody had that one as the first upset of the tournament. If so, you're in pretty good position.
It definitely wasn't me. But that's the great thing about the NCAA tournament.
Potentially another upset in the works with Oregon State leading Tennessee at the half, 33-19. When we come back, we're gonna run a little bit of Butch Thompson, right, Bill?
Yeah, we'll have Butch Thompson previewing Ole Miss. We'll do that a little later on. In the next segment, we've got a couple of minutes left in this one right now. Cody Greenhill gets the start for the Tigers tonight. It'll be Mason Barnett tomorrow, and right now it's TBA for Sunday. That all depends on whether or not they need to use Richard Fitz, Jack Owen, Trace Bright. I mean, if Cody Greenhill goes out and gives them, you know, 5 or 6 and they can get through with 2 or 3 pitchers tonight, then they may go ahead and decide who's going to start, announce who's going to start on Sunday.
And that, you know, I don't know how it used to be in college baseball, Bill, but it does seem like managers are more willing to say, you know, if you think about like the Major League Baseball playoffs, right? It's we're more willing to say, you know, we'll decide who our starter is in Game 3 based on who we use in Games 1 and 2, and it's a little bit like the attitude. I mean, right? Like it's almost situational.
If college baseball has been like that for a long time,
and if then is almost the formula with regards to how you decide who the starter on Sunday is going to be. It's going to depend on who gets deployed and how much they throw on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll let you hear Butch in a little while. If we get a chance a little later on, we'll let you hear some of the players that we had a chance to talk to during the week. We haven't run any audio from Wednesday. Today, Smoke Monday, Zakobi McLean, Tank Bigsby, spend a little time with the media. So if we get an opportunity, we'll let you hear some of the audio from different players as they get ready. And I asked Tank, you could tell he's really excited about the opportunity to be playing in front of fans tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, it's going to make it. And I know first day in pads, it's not like, oh, they're burnt out and tired of spring practice. I know they wanted to get to it. And with new coaching staff, they're fired up. But that's even more incentive for tomorrow.
Right. And it hasn't been that long since there was a football game at Jordan-Hare Stadium. But I'm sure for a lot of these players, they're ready for they're ready for some action.
Let's get to the phone. And Olin is up first. Hey, Olin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
It's good. Well, let's see. We're getting ready. You started the 2021, right? Football. And I'm excited about it. I tell you, I'm really excited about the coaching staff that was put together. I like the idea that we've got three head coaches, two offensive head coaches, and one head coach for defense. But all of them are head coaches, even though a couple of them are coordinators now.
And a lot of coordinators. I mean,
a lot of coaches have been coordinators. Yeah, so, I mean, they're strong. They're strong, I think, all the way up and down the coaching staff. And, you know, there's really two basic parts. One is the talent. And, of course, they haven't had time to recruit a lot yet. But one is the talent. And two is the coaching.
That's right.
And you can overcome somewhat of a talent problem with coaching. And you can overcome a coaching problem with talent somewhat.
Yeah, I tell you what, Olin, we're up against a break that we have to take along the network, if you will. You're absolutely right about that. We'd love to continue this. We're going to run some Butch Thompson when we come back, but then if you get a chance, give us a call back. Stick with us here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio, taking your calls, questions, comments on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. In about 2 hours, Auburn and Ole Miss will get underway in the first SEC action of the year for both. Well, first in nearly 2 years. It's been May of 2019 since we've seen SEC baseball. And we had a chance to spend some time with Auburn coach Butch Thompson yesterday before the Tigers hit the road to Oxford.
Time for SEC play. We're excited. You know, we tried this last year and got to this day and had the plug pulled on it. So it's been a while, but it's exciting. I think this is that feeling of, you know, it's best amateur baseball on earth, I believe. And to be able to start it in a venue against the top five team at their place where I know we're going to encounter a full crowd. I think it's great for our ball club. My sincere feeling about this ball club, this year's Auburn version, is I think we're more prepared, more tested, more challenged than we've been the last few years. You know, we've already played five games on the road. Basically, we've already gotten on a plane and taken a trip. We've already had a top 20 team at our place at Plainsman Park. And you're never at full strength. And when you are at full strength, that doesn't mean you're going you still have a tough time playing SEC baseball. So we know where we're at. We're excited about the opportunity. Looking forward to getting over there tonight, practicing, and starting this SEC series. This will be 10 sincere weeks, whether you have success on a weekend or whether you're challenged on a weekend, I think it's important to maintain some balance and commit to competing and doing the best you can over a 10-week period. So we won't look past that. That's what's in front of us right now. And we'll get after it starting tomorrow and then look back up in 10 weeks and see where we're at and see what's next.
Brian?
Hi, Butch. Thank you for speaking to us. Just want to ask you about Jack Owen. Will he have a chance to throw, you think, this weekend?
Yes, is the answer. I think we just did a trial run versus hitters. We had right-handed and left-handed hitters compete against him. He looked really good to me before coming in and visiting with you guys. So I think we'll see how he bounces back. But from what I saw, I do think Jack is an option and an opportunity. Probably not game one, but maybe as early as game two, but for sure game three. I can see us getting Jack out there and competing for us in some manner. And as you know, we went Green Hill Barnett TBA. So, you know, with kind of the limited deal where we're at pitching and the challenges you have, you know, Trace Bright could for sure start Sunday, but we might could use him earlier if we have a chance to win a game. So you could see Jack helping us. Probably a couple innings would be realistic, Brian, but you can see him factoring in to maybe even a start Sunday or in relief. But nonetheless, you would think it would be a couple innings, and we can't wait to get him back out there. We think it gives us a chance to be a better club, not only just this weekend, but moving forward to get Jack back out and starting the season, basically.
Jason?
I guess the same question on Fitz, Butch. How did he bounce back? Is he a guy that maybe an inning or two? And I guess, is it Burkhalter and Joseph Gonzalez, you know, Carson Swilling, those kind of the guys that you're counting on this weekend?
Counting on those guys big time. Fitz was great in the eighth inning. It looked like, you know, it was better than the starts that he had had. Everything just looked like Richard in the eighth. And then, you know, Anthony and Tim had to go out and visit with him a little bit in the ninth. He's the most unknown. And, you know, we saw Doc and those guys again yesterday. He fought to figure out, and he did strike out the last batter of that ball game, which I think is huge. But I think he's a wait and see. So we did some stuff with him yesterday, and I think it'll probably be before we wake up. I would love to Richard to figure back into the bullpen just like he did Tuesday at Lipscomb, but I'm not even going to know. Richard may not even know until we get maybe wake up Friday morning and see. And if he's not available Friday, then maybe he's available Saturday. And those other guys you mentioned, we're just going to keep running it down. Cam Hill, I will not blink on him. I believe in him. He's one of my players, left-handed, it's good enough stuff. We will not run from that and stop doing that. So if that's insanity or crazy or whatever, we know he's going to be great here, and we're going to keep pushing it. And we're thin enough now where we're having exposed some of that stuff, and hopefully we're learning something. You know, my fear of insanity is if we're not learning something from every one of these experiences and outings. If we are, then, hey, this is going to make us better. This is the most prepared club that we've had going into the SEC play, in my opinion. And that's because of the adversity. Part of it's because of the challenges that we've went through. So all those guys got to be ready for us. And yeah, we want Richard and we want Cody to take another step and be closer to 100% this week than he was last. But with Green Hill, with Fitz, it's kind of game time decisions. With Jack, it'll be over the next 24, 48 hours to see how he's bouncing back from the event. He needed to see hitters before we asked him to pitch in a ball game. And now that we've cleared that hurdle, hopefully Jack will help us as well. But the pitching is still something we're figuring out, but we take a lot of confidence in our offense and our defense heading into SEC play.
Mark?
Yeah, Butch, how many can you have on a roster for SEC game this season? And how many pitchers would you like to take to Ole Miss?
Yeah. You know, it's been 27, whether you're at home or away, and you've been able to dress more at home, I think up to 35. This year with the COVID, the athletic director has voted and passed, and I I think they did the same for softball. I'm not sure what the numbers are, but it's increased. So we go from 27 to 30. So us and Ole Miss both and every SEC team this entire year will be able to use 30 players. And some of that's contact tracing and pitching, and it's been a long time since we competed, all those factors. So that's three more guys, and we are taking 13, 14 pitchers on this trip because we need it because of how many question marks. It's not just the pitcher listed, but can he actually participate this weekend? And that's kind of the deal. So we took 14, and that still leaves some guys at home. You know, we're hoping to get Jack back in there, and we're hoping Fitz can help us. But, you know, some guys that have thrown the ball really well, Carson Skipper, Hayden Mullins, are not even making this trip. So we have a 38-man roster, I think, right now. So a few guys I think we're looking toward redshirting at this point. But it's still hard when you draw it out and only 30 guys can go. So eight guys are staying back and either doing rehab or just not making the cut for this particular trip.
Thanks.
Bill?
Yeah, but you were talking about the offense, and right now, really good-looking numbers. But in a lot of cases, they're really jacked up by a huge game or two. Not that you haven't had them, but it's been pretty solid up to this point, up and down the lineup, power up and down the lineup. Just talk about how you feel about the offense going in as you start conference play.
I'm interested to see. There's phases of every year, right? There's a fall, and then you got these fall Americans, and you're like, they can't miss. And then you get into January, February, and it's like, where do the fall Americans go? And then a couple of guys start emerging, and back in the fall, you're like, man, these guys couldn't play dead in a cowboy movie, and they wind up being so important to your team. And then you go non-conference play, and then here comes conference play, and things change again, and we're at that point that you're speaking about. I do think our numbers are more realistic this year than they've been in the past because of the experiences that we've had and being on the road and playing some really good competition. Not that we haven't in the past, but I think the numbers are more realistic than they've been in the past heading into SEC play. I know we have more power. And, you know, I like this pitching staff. We just haven't got that pitching staff together, and we've, you know, hiding some things that still needed to be developed have been on full display. So, getting that back to 100% is important. But, you know, I know our lineup's deeper. I do think when you see a guy like Hoglund on Friday night, he's got 42, 43 strikeouts in 23 innings. You might not just sit there and hit three or four home runs two times through the lineup. I get it. The game does change. So, you know, Lipscomb, one of the most positive things about that Lipscomb trip that nobody knows is for the eighth and ninth inning, we saw two real dudes take the mound. It was going to be tough to score anymore, and that's what you find. They shortened the game with two guys. Even though they were down two runs, they put their closer and their next best guy in there, and it was tough at bats. And I know Coach Gross, I could hear him telling our lineup, this is what you're going to have to get ready to perform against and face once we get to SEC play. Now we're here. So – that'll be really interesting because, you know, we come out last Friday and Saturday and threw two goose eggs up there. Man, I hope if we pitch well, I do have confidence in that offense. And I think we play defense on the road enough that I have confidence in that. So that makes us excited. You know, Ole Miss is a top five team, very deserving and awesome. But I don't think it's between here and Yellowstone Park the difference between us and Ole Miss. And that's what I hope I feel on Sunday. Because that's what I believe going in as a head coach.
Got time for one more from Brian.
Yeah, Butch, could you give me a sort of a timeline on Carson Skipper and his injury? And then Hayden Mullins pitched so well for you. Has he got banged up too?
Yeah, he would come out at the end of an eighth inning the last time he threw. And well, we threw so good at UAB, and I guess it was Saturday, maybe Little Rock. So was not able to go back out for the ninth. We've done testing pretty conservative. The plan is for Mullins and Skipper to both resume throwing on Monday. So that's positive because those are two lefties out of the bullpen that makes a difference for us. So if they both could get back up throwing on Monday, I don't think it's been a huge amount of time for them being out that they've lost any arm shape. What's been crazy, I don't think any of this stuff is directly related to COVID. I think it's indirect. And most of our pitchers, their challenge has not been with their arm. It's been with other body parts, foot and fingers. And so I think that's an indirect you know, consequence of COVID in some strange way, because it's been awkward for us, and it's been awkward for that pitching staff with what they've gone through to this point.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. See y'all.
Thank you. Safe trips.
Thanks, Butch.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
We're good.
Just want to ask you how fired up is this team, you know, after what happened last year, finally getting to play that SEC series?
Yeah, we're very fired up. You know, it's been, I think Georgia told me it's been 22 months since I played in the SEC series. So I'm excited. You know, I'm trying to relive that and hope everything's good. I think the team is very, very ready for it, and, you know, just really looking forward to it.
Jason?
Facing Hoagland on Friday night, and you know, even without Nikhazy, this is still a bunch of good pitchers. You guys have depth up and down the lineup. How important is it just to kind of stay within yourselves, knowing that, man, we got other guys that can do the job behind me? Is that one of the things to just kind of stay patient this weekend?
Yeah, definitely. We know everybody go face some really good pitching. You know, this staff is really good, and you know, I think the way we've been hitting the ball right now, I think if we just stay within ourselves and keep doing what we're doing, you know, we'll be good. You know, that's one thing we preach is, you know, trust the guys behind you. Don't try to do too much than what the game calls for. And I think if we do that this weekend, we'll be in a good, we're going to be in a good spot.
And then how much of a confidence boost is it going on the road when you guys can play defense the way you've done this year, knowing that, man, we're going to defend and make people earn it?
Oh, very confident. You know, that's one thing that we preach on. You know, Coach Thompson's all about pitching, defense, and timely hitting. And, you know, we've been doing defense really well this year, playing great defense. And, you know, going to another environment, hostile environment like we're going to, you know, with our defense, I feel really confident, you know, that we'll make all the plays. And it eases our pitchers' minds knowing that we have a great defense behind them. So, you know, I really do feel confident with our defense right now.
Mark?
Ron, are you back full speed, ready to go? I know you had a little bit of a hiccup earlier in the season.
I did, yes. I'm 100%. I'm back. You know, felt my hamstring tighten up a little bit during the first series. But, Anthony Sanders has been doing a great job. And I'm back healthy right now, so I'm ready to take on the SEC play.
How much fun are you having out there at shortstop this year?
Oh, so much fun. You know, it's really fun to get back on that side of the field, and you know, hopefully we get the whole season in so I can enjoy it more than I did last season. But it's been really fun playing shortstop and, you know, being out there with the guys.
Jason?
Ron, talk a bit about Brody, a guy you guys came in together, defensive guy. Every time he gets a chance to play, he's a clutch guy. How nice is it to have a guy like that next to you?
Oh, so nice. Brody and I have so much chemistry. It's crazy. And the way we talk to each other, the way we know what each other think, what each other's thinking, you know, with him beside me, I feel so confident. And, you know, I'm just so proud of him, because he came in with me, and I remember when he was in the scooter freshman year when he had surgery on his leg. So to see his progress and see where he is now, it's amazing. And I'm so proud of him, and I'm glad that he's beside me.
Anything else?
Ryan Bliss following Butch Thompson as the Tigers and Rebels get ready to play in a little over an hour and a half tonight in Oxford. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us, 321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. Time to churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Final segment of hour number one of the Friday Drive with Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio. And Tennessee, it's not getting better for the Vols as they're in the second half. We were talking about a lot of teams have had a really rough first half and come back and turned it around in the second half. You know, we're talking about, you mentioned UCLA from last night. And
Drake as well.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
Drake was in
but
big trouble.
But, I mean, Baylor was really struggling. You had
Utah State led at the half against Texas Tech.
But it never really turned completely around for Ohio State. The number two seed falling in overtime, and Tennessee is down big. It was 17-18.
It's 17 now, 44-27 at the under 16 break in the second half, and this is it's a good news bad news situation for the SEC. I mean, earlier today, Florida wins in overtime, and that's a game.
Florida trailed a lot during that ball game.
And had a chance to put the game away with a free throw at the very end of regulation.
Yeah, missed two free throws in the final 10 seconds.
They missed the final two free throws, up three. Virginia Tech goes down, hits a three-pointer. Maybe he could have fouled there, too. I don't know. You know, up three at the end of a game like that.
The thing is that Virginia Tech had been awful shooting. Yep. They really had not shot the ball well. So I guess they're thinking they're not going to hit this three.
Well,
hey, Arkansas was down. Arkansas was down double figures to Colgate.
Colgate was rolling, and Arkansas able to make some adjustments.
Colgate was pasting.
They were. The gate was the gate was wide open.
Oh, man.
The Colgate was wide open, and then Arkansas slammed it shut.
Is their sister school Palmolive?
Oh, man. That's just a
I love it. I love it when you hear some of these. You know, you hear some schools' names that you don't talk about an awful lot. It's great. It's great here.
Well,
March Madness.
Listerine lost in the conference tournament, so they couldn't make it. But they would have been in the NCAA tournament as well. Okay, so the finals already from the tournament: Baylor victorious over Hartford, Texas Tech beat Utah State, Illinois beats Drexel. Arkansas, like we said, beat Colgate. Florida over Virginia Tech. The big shocker of the day thus far: Oral Roberts bouncing a two seed Ohio State from the tournament, 75-72 in overtime.
That is, and so far that is the only lower seed to have won.
And Oregon State looks to be about 15 minutes away from joining Oral Roberts as the team's upsets.
That doesn't seem to be, though, a 12 winning. That doesn't seem to be an upset.
It's not. I mean, if Oral Roberts beating Ohio State isn't the biggest upset of the round of 64,
then what a tourney we got.
Then we got a bombshell coming in the next day and a half.
We need to step aside. We're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. Love for you to join in. Are you going to go to football practice tomorrow? I'm asking the general public. We'll talk a little bit about what we're looking for tomorrow. Maybe if we get a chance, let you hear some comments from players as they get ready for the open practice tomorrow. That and much more, of course, keeping you up with the NCAA tournament. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390 here on the Friday Drive.
Sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of The Drive. It is the Friday edition. Getting ready for the weekend, the final hour of the week here on The Drive. And Bill and Dan back with you from the WOW Business Studio.
That's right, and you can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And as we move on, we're watching and keeping up with NCAA basketball. You know, this is a bit of an oddity, because generally on day one, the games usually end around 5 o'clock and you've got a little break until the evening session starts at 6. But we're getting basketball throughout. And the third SEC team to play today is on the court and trying to mount a comeback. The Tennessee Vols have trailed by, I believe, as many as 18. Right now, they're down 13, 47 to 34, with about 12 minutes or so to go in regulation.
And that's something, I think it's just out of, there's any number of possible explanations, but that break that you're talking about that you usually have on the first 2 days of the tournament, you know, to get the local news in on the CBS affiliates,
right?
Primarily, that we're not getting that this year. I mean, I think the local news will still be on CBS because some of the other games will be on other channels. But you have games. I believe tomorrow from 11:15 a.m. until
11:30 probably tomorrow night.
Until 8:57 p.m. is tomorrow night's tip off.
Yeah, so that is if everything goes as scheduled. Usually that last game's not gonna tip till about 9:15, and that'll put it close to 11:30.
So you could get
12 to 12 and a half hours.
12 to 12 and a half hours of basketball today and tomorrow.
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Anything on your mind sports-wise? We heard a little preview from Butch Thompson about Auburn Ole Miss baseball. We've got open practice, first time in 15 years that there has been a practice open to the public tomorrow. It's the first day in pads.
Since Paul Rhodes was riding his bike to practice, right?
I think that's probably right.
I think that was the last time that Auburn had open practice. You got to go back to, leading up to the 2008 season.
And so anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we'll run down all the scores here in a little while, but your calls come first, and let's get to the phone. And George is up first from Memphis. Hey, George.
Hey, guys. I like that Palmolive comment earlier in the show. That was that made me smile. Listerine, not so much. I have a basketball question because I have to listen to your show most of the time as a podcast. And yesterday we were talking about the fellas that joined the transfer portal,
right?
And Javon Franklin and Jamal Johnson. And we kept talking about three scholarships. And I was wondering, what happened to the Turbo scholarship?
Well, Auburn needed to have an extra scholarship. They were going to be one scholarship short when they signed Jabari Smith and Trey Alexander. And we knew there'd need to be some attrition to be able to have 13 for next year because Auburn was one player short. You know, they were one player short when Jabari left. That left them two short. Then they signed two, so that got them back to 13.
Got it. Well, I appreciate that. That explains it for me. I thought we had two open ones for Jabari and the other. So we were already counting on some attrition. And, of course, it's funny how that does all work out.
Oh, yeah. And these days
in both sports.
Right. But these days in every sport, I think you're going to see more attrition than ever now that it looks like it's certain that we'll have immediate eligibility for transfers.
Yeah. So then talking about tomorrow, I wish I was there. Not that we'd see a whole heck of a lot. In fact, I know if I were to go to practice tomorrow, I'd have a friend who'd ask me, well, how'd they look? And I'd say, well, they look great coming out of the locker room. And that's about it, because what the heck do we know, or I know what's going on out there?
Yeah, and I really don't know.
Fun. I think the whole concept is really a lot of fun he's willing to do this.
Well, I agree. And again, we've explained, I don't think it's just because Brian Harsin wants to ingratiate himself with the fan base, although it's going to go a long way in doing that. But the main reason is it allows recruits to be able to come in, because if you open things to everyone, then recruits can come in as well and be there and see how the team practices and watch, you know, how their position coaches coach, because that's one thing. A lot of the players around the Southeast are familiar with Derek Mason and Will Friend and Cadillac Williams. Mm-hmm. There are a few. But there are a lot of these assistant coaches and Brian Harsin who the players haven't had a chance to see up close. Whether they get a chance to talk to them, that's still different to be able to see how they handle that team in practice. And I think that's a great move by Auburn to open it up, let people in. They'll be. I really think George, there's going to be a big, big crowd. Weather looks very good. It's going to be in the low 50s tomorrow. It's going to feel a little bit like football. There's no chance of rain, I don't think, during the day. I think it's a great opportunity. And I mentioned earlier today, there seems to be an awful lot more traffic around downtown and heading in town from out of town. I think folks are going to make a weekend of it, or at least make a day of it, come in with an 11 o'clock or 11:30 practice. It's a great opportunity for people to come in from out of town, go watch practice, go get something to eat, and just walk around town.
Yeah, I would have liked to do that. In fact, I'm going to Auburn on Monday, spending next week down there, but can't make it by tomorrow. So, well, thank you very much, guys. I hope you have a great weekend.
Great hearing from you, George, and we really appreciate you listening. And he mentioned the podcasts, Dan, and that's an opportunity. I mean, if you miss some of the show, you can catch up with any of our guests. Anything that's going on here on the show on the podcast.
That's right. Podcasts of The Drive presented by the Ag Tag. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find us. We are available. Download the show from the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. You can use the ESPN 106.7 app. You can also find The Drive with Bill Cameron on Apple, Google, Spotify. And it's all presented by the Alabama Farmers Federation and the Ag Tag. Visit alphafarmers.org to find out more.
Let's run down the scores of ball games thus far today. Finals from earlier today, we mentioned two other SEC teams played. It was quite the opening game of the day with Virginia Tech and Florida. A game that Virginia Tech led for a long time. Then it was back and forth. And as Dan said earlier, Florida had a chance to wrap it up with free throws in the final seconds of regulation, missed, and Virginia Tech hit a three with 1.7 seconds to send it to overtime. It was tied at 64 going to overtime, but Florida pulled away and wins 75-70 in overtime. The other SEC team, Arkansas, got off to a really sluggish start against Colgate. Colgate had a 14-point lead with 4 minutes to play in the first half, but Arkansas came back, scored the final 17 points of the first half to take a three-point halftime lead, and then ran away in the second half to win 85-68.
Yeah, Colgate scored to make it 33-19 with 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first half. Colgate didn't score again.
No.
Until about 2 minutes into the second half. They went about 7 minutes without scoring. Now, because it's Colgate, they scored 9 points in the next minute after finally breaking that 7 minute long slump. It was a wild game, but Arkansas pulls away at the end. Colgate, a sharp shooting team, but just couldn't really handle the pressure of a really, really big and fast Arkansas Razorbacks team that's able to give a lot of people trouble.
Now, Arkansas's next opponent will be the sixth seed there in the South, Texas Tech. Texas Tech defeated Utah State, the 11 seed, 65-53. Florida gets Oral Roberts because Oral Roberts, the 15 seed there in the South, knocking off the second seed, Ohio State, in the biggest shocker thus far in overtime. You know, you had to think once it got to overtime, Ohio State's going to win. But no, Oral Roberts outscoring the Buckeyes 11-8 in overtime to win it 75-72. So we've had two overtime games. Both of them went to overtime at 64.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good news for the Gators, seemingly, that they're not going to have to draw.
You would sure think.
Ohio State in the round of 32. Now Florida's trip to the Sweet 16.
Yes. Yeah, so if you had Florida in the Sweet 16, you got to be feeling pretty good right now.
Dependent just on their ability to beat the Oral Roberts Golden Eagles. Baylor over Hartford, 79-55. Illinois over Drexel, 78-49. No real surprises there. Two of the top teams in the tournament taking care of business. I know it was a little bit sluggish early for Baylor, but they end up running away from Hartford.
And Loyola is about to wrap up Georgia Tech. They are up 10 with 50 seconds to play, 69-59.
We had someone earlier in the week, maybe it was Jake Crane, big on Georgia Tech, So that might come apart at the seams. Some really interesting
congratulations
games
to them for winning the ACC tournament.
Well, and another, you know, another team that I think a lot of people have going pretty deep in the NCAA or a trendy team, I would say this time of year, is Oklahoma State. You know, I think people look at Cade Cunningham and they look at that Oklahoma State team and how they played down the stretch, beating Baylor in the Big 12 conference tournament, and with the projected number one pick in the NBA draft. Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State could make a real deep run in this thing, but they've got Liberty in just a couple of minutes, and that's a dangerous Liberty team. Only a 7-point favorite, Oklahoma State over Liberty, which is surprising for a 4 versus a 13, and maybe an indication there are folks who think that game could be close.
Yeah, I don't know that I feel like I've heard more people that like Liberty than Oklahoma State. I mean, everybody, you know, it's Cade Cunningham, but they like Liberty as a team.
Well, Liberty is a dangerous team because, you know, there are folks out there with, and I'm speaking on behalf of one right now, that there are folks out there who think Oklahoma State could make a really deep run in this tournament.
Well, and there are folks at this mic that don't think so.
You got Liberty?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, wow. You got Oklahoma State out. So that's, so that could be
my bracket. I'm already toast anyway in the bracket. I've got Ohio State.
There are a few. Looking at the night schedule, you've got Liberty and Oklahoma State. That's going to get started next. Wisconsin, North Carolina. That's at 6:10 on CBS. Houston, Cleveland State at 6:15. North Texas, Purdue at 6:25. Rutgers, Clemson at 8:20, Syracuse, San Diego State at 8:40, Morehead State, West Virginia at 8:50, and Winthrop, Villanova ending things at 8:57 p.m. tonight. Of those games, Syracuse, San Diego State looks like it could be really good.
San Diego State's a team that they've gotten a lot of interest,
and Syracuse is a team that is always dangerous in the NCAA tournament. But
sure,
I think you could make a case this is a Syracuse team that was on the they were on the fringe of the bubble and they end up getting in, but that was a team at 16-9 without a lot of signature wins. I mean, this is a chance to prove they belong in the NCAA tournament. Wisconsin, North Carolina should be pretty good. I mean, that's
your biggest name.
Big names. And North Texas, Purdue. North Texas runs a fast paced style that they get an opportunity to show what they can do against a Power 5 opponent.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports wise. We started talking with Olin a while ago and ran out of time. He's back with us, and we've got plenty of time now, Olin. Thanks for calling back.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, I was just getting started on the fact that I am very excited about the football coaching staff and the team, and I'm excited to see that they were able to pull back a lot of those guys that thought they might want to leave. And I think that's important because that's some real good experience that they brought back and some pretty good ball players.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to take, you know, I hope our fan base has got the patience to understand that when a new coach comes in, he can't just punch a button and make everything happen he wants to. It takes time to build it and make it happen. He's not starting from zero, though, because he started with a team.
No, you're right there. You're right.
He started with a team that if they could just play ball against two or three teams, could have been right up at the top.
There's still a lot of players that were on the team in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely.
A team that won 9 regular season games. So, it's not the cover's not bare by any means.
Well, I think last year might have even been a better year. How many games did we win last year?
Six. It was 6-4.
Six out of 10.
Mm-hmm. All conference games.
Yeah, and they were all against SEC teams.
That's right.
So I can't, you know, that's winning about as many SEC games as we ever win. but anyhow, that I just feel good about what we're working with and with the staff we've got, and I'm looking forward with eager anticipation. Another quick thing I wanted to say is that, Bill, I'm having a hard time getting used to the way college basketball is played. It's really weird to me. You start off, you go out and you recruit some top players, you bring them in, and then at the end of the year, one or two on my GoPro, two or three on my transfer for whatever reasons. They'll transfer out, then you'll have people transfer in. Everybody kind of scrambles around, puts it back together, and then they'll start again next year. To me, that's as a fan, that's hard on me.
Well, it's hard to keep
and
up with.
Up with them in detail.
Oh, it is. I mean, the thing is, get used to it, though, Olin, because it's only gonna there are only gonna be more players that are doing that because they've been doing this without the ability to play immediately. You know, most of the transfers, unless they were graduate transfers, were having to sit out a year. Now they're not, unless something crazy happens, the NCAA is going to pass next month that every player is going to have one opportunity at any point in their career, one opportunity to transfer and not sit out. And most of them are going to jump at that opportunity as soon as possible. So what we've seen here and all across the country, that's why you're seeing so many more players in the transfer portal right now.
Yeah, we had this conversation when Justin Powell announced he was transferring last week. I mean, it seems like what's happening in college basketball is after every season, the relationship is sort of reevaluated by the player and by the coach. It's not a 4-year scholarship. It's a 1-year deal. And if you both want to continue the relationship, it'll become a 2-year deal and then a 3-year deal and then a 4-year deal. But it's not a
If either side wants to end that deal, it looks like it can happen quickly.
Well, I think the key to having a winning team in this kind of environment is create you a base core of pretty good ball players that are not going to be transferring and that are committed. And that's those 3 or 4 or 5 players that you'll have. And then you'll add the ornaments on around it. Okay. And as I look at it right now, if Flanagan and Thor stay, then we'll have a good base core to work with. And then you can bring in the 5, 6, 7, 8 stars or whatever they are and bring them in and shooters, okay?
Right.
And build around that. And I think, you know, can pretty quickly put a team together because you've got a base core there to work with, you know? And the other thing about our base core, last year it was very young. It's going to get older. It's going to be more experienced. So I feel good about our opportunity moving forward, even though you look at who we lost, you say, oh, my Lord, you know. But then let's see who we gain, okay? Because we're going to gain people too, you know.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think it seemed much more dire when Justin Powell left. And then you got the news about Jamal and Javon. But by adding Zepp Jasper, you bring in a guy who has as much experience, probably more than Jamal. And Jamal was a pretty experienced guy. He's going to be a grad transfer, but Jasper is also a grad transfer who's played 3 years.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, he's a guy that can come in and should be able to fill that void that you lost in the first place from Justin, a guy who can score but also can handle the ball and take over at the point.
Well, I want to say this at the end of the season, I was very happy with what Johnson did as a point guard. I thought that he handled it very well. He seemed to be able to get things set up, and he's a very dangerous shooter. And so, you know, you got to guard him. And so that pulls people out a little bit. And I noticed that at the end of the season, they backed off of trying to penetrate so much because the rest of the teams figured over and out that if you don't keep that middle tight and keep them away from the basket, they'll just drive you to death. So what they did at the end of the season is they began to cut us off from that. That's when we lost 3 or 4 games in a row before it seems like we recognized that, hey, we got to go back out and start shooting that ball and loosen up and let it go. And when they did, they started winning again. So I just feel good. I think I like the basketball. It's exciting. And one more thing, I'm going to get off. Of course, we're getting started in the baseball.
Right.
Of course, with the college team, I'm a little disappointed with the way things have started. However, I don't know the details of who's been sick, who's been hurt, who's got sore arms, this, that, and whatever.
The good news, Olin, I was going to say the good news about the pitchers, it hasn't been any arms. It's been a foot. It's been an oblique. It's been actually feet with two starters, and they've had two of their weekend starters and a closer that are out. Yeah, we're up against a break now, but I'm encouraged. This is going to be a very interesting weekend. I think they've swung the bat pretty well. They're starting to get some pitchers back. They're getting in conference play. So, yeah, it's a fun time, and I know you're a big Cardinal fan and going to be really interesting to see them as well. We've got to get to our first break, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Now, more of The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Bill and Dan here on this Friday. Watching a lot of basketball. Tennessee, every time they make a little run to cut it under 15, Oregon State pushes it back up to 20. Tennessee's got it back down to 15. 62-47, Oregon State leading Tennessee in that 12-5 matchup.
That's right. Wayne Tinkle in his seventh year as Oregon State coach, just barely over 500. But he's on a run right now that could take them to the second round of the NCAA tournament, a place Oregon State has not been.
There's the closest Tennessee's been now. They cut it to 12.
Okay, it's down to 12. Oregon State has not won a tournament game in nearly 40 years.
Wow.
First time they've won the Pac-12 tournament.
There's
ever.
A whole lot of contact going on, I'm telling you. That's one thing. Have you noticed that a lot? That there is there are a lot of collisions going on, and some of them are being called, but I think the officials are letting them play.
Oh,
the games I've been watching here in the tournament.
Yeah, not to complain that one team was being treated unfairly.
Oh, no. I'm just saying the officials are letting them play.
Yeah, I thought that there have been a wide discrepancy as far as like how some games are called very tight, some games are a little bit more loose, and it can matter a lot depending on
it
what sort of
style. Absolutely can. If you're a more physical team, yeah. It looks like the NCAA tournament is made for you. We're at the under four timeout. And Tennessee with the ball, I believe they'll be shooting free throws, down 12 here as we approach the midpoint of the first full day. Yeah, it is considered day two of the tournament.
Tennessee trying to keep the perfect SEC start to the tournament alive.
2-0 thus far.
Florida and Arkansas victorious earlier today, but Tennessee's got a lot of work to do in the final 3 minutes and 49 seconds of this game if they're going to come back and beat the Pac-12 tournament champion, Oregon State Beavers. That's a conference that could be off to a decent start, too.
Yeah, no kidding with UCLA's come-from-behind overtime win last night.
Look, I think UCLA, I mean, I'm biased. I'm wearing the hat right now. But UCLA, I think they're going to beat BYU tomorrow. Now, I don't know if they're going any further than that. Texas looms as like,
right.
That's a tough draw, unless something happens in that game. But I think UCLA, I mean, so they mentioned during the broadcast, it's pretty common for one of the two advancing first four at large
to win again.
In four times in 10 years, there's been a first four team in the Sweet 16. So once every 2 years, you get a team from last night's round winning both of their games in the first weekend. So watch out for UCLA or potentially Drake as they advance from last night. Drake will play USC and UCLA will play BYU.
We're just about to our bottom of the hour break. Thought what we would do since we ran some Butch Thompson and Ryan Bliss in the first hour, we'll see if we can get you some of the audio from football players today as they get ready for the open practice tomorrow. Again, gates are going to open at 11 o'clock. You go in gate 12. Now, there will be social distancing and masks. You need to keep your mask on and social distance. But a great opportunity tomorrow for fans to be able to check out the practice. Yeah, and if we have the opportunity when we come back, we'll let you hear some of the comments from players today as they spend some time with the media. Time for your calls as well, 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline to get you through here in the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
To The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final 25 minutes or so here on this Friday with Bill and Dan. And as we mentioned, really excited. I think a lot of fans are really excited about the possibility of being able to watch football practice tomorrow. It is open at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and it'll be the first day in pads. You know, you think sometimes, well, practice gets to be a bit of a drudgery, but it's different. You've got a new staff, players trying to prove themselves. They're going to be out first day in pads. There'll be fans in the stands. A lot of reasons to be very interested in tomorrow's practice. And we in the media, we had a chance to speak with some of the players today. Smoke Monday, Zakobi McLean, and the freshman of the year from this past year, running back Tank Bigsby. And thought we'd let you hear what Tank had to say to the media just a few hours ago.
All right, we've got Tank Bigsby here. We've got our first question is from Philip Marshall.
Tank, having been through your freshman year and obviously gotten a lot of praise, how important is it for you to kind of live up to the tradition of running backs at Auburn, including you and your position coach?
It's really important, you know. I hold myself to accountability, working hard, Cadillac pushed me, he tell me how many great running backs came through here, and, of course I want to be the next, and I just hold myself to a high accountability.
How close do you think you are to being that?
I never, throughout my whole career, I never found out how to just say what I'm gonna do. I just let my actions speak for itself. So I just let the media talk for itself. But I feel like if I keep doing what I'm doing and keep my head straight, I'll get there.
Thanks,
Jordan Hill.
What did he say?
Can you repeat the question?
Just how valuable having this spring can be since you guys weren't able to go through spring last year.
I feel like this is a good start for us, especially with the new coaches here. We all get to learn the plays and stuff like that. Everything new. It's a new beginning, so I feel like it's a good new start to have a spring this year. And we won't be able to have to just go on fall camp and learning stuff, but I feel like it's a good start.
Tom Green.
Hey, thanks. Obviously, the running back room looks a little bit different this year than it did last season after some guys left. What's that been like, having a different makeup in the room? And what have you seen from Devin so far as he transitions back to that position?
Devin been doing really good. He getting there. He been working real hard. Worm. Sean Shivers, he worked really hard. The room, people say the room is less depth, but, we got a lot of hardworking guys in there, and I feel like those guys is going to step up, and we're going to have a great season.
Jay Tate?
Yeah, Tank, obviously you're a very physical runner, and you love breaking tackles. Do you ever worry about the physical toll that takes on your body? Would you ever consider kind of going out of bounds a little bit to save yourself from hits, or can you just not really ever do that?
I'll always talk, once you make them feel you, they don't want to feel you no more, for real. But, you know, going out of bounds, you know, just, you know, they'll probably think I go out of bounds every time, you know, but try to take a cheat shot for you or something. So, you know, you just let them feel you the first time, and, you know, if they want to keep feeling you, you know, they keep coming with it. But, you know, just being physical, you have to be physical in running back. So I don't think I'll go out of bounds.
Jeff Shear.
Hank, what was your favorite run last year, your best run?
My best run, I say my favorite run. Of course, I say my first touchdown versus South Carolina, but versus Ole Miss when I dived in the end zone. That was my favorite run last year. Yeah, I say that was my favorite run.
What was your best game, in your opinion, where you showed what you can do?
My best game, I'd probably say Mississippi State.
Brian Matthews.
Hey, Tank, how you doing?
How you doing?
Wanted to ask you about the offense and how has it sort of changed for the running backs? What's going to be different for you guys?
You know, we're more down here this year. You know, we got Mike Bobo, we got Coach Harson, big offensive guys. You know, I feel like we're gonna be real good at what we do, especially running the ball. I feel like we're gonna be great at that.
Jordan Hill.
Hank, what areas of your game have you been focused on this whole season? You know, what do you want to get better at before your sophomore year?
You know, the little things in the game. You know, just focusing on all the little things, like, you know, just being, the little things make you the best athlete you can be. You know, everybody always worry about the big things. So my coach always tell me worry about the little things. And when you worry about those, you know, the big things are handling itself. And I just, I'm working on the little things that I need to work on this off season of going to my sophomore season.
Mark Murphy.
Yeah, Tank, what are your expectations for the offensive line this year now that you guys got a lot more experienced players back?
You know, those guys are good. You know, I didn't have a problem with my O-line last year. You know, it's just the media was all in their head, you know, talking to them because, like, it was their first time playing and stuff. But, you know, I feel like our O-line is great. You know, they got more experience, and I feel like they're going to bring a lot this year with the offense. And I feel like we're going to be great right there in that area. Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Josh Vitale. Josh, can you repeat the question? You broke up at the beginning.
Yeah, sorry. Just you mentioned after the Mississippi State game last year, just how challenging it was to go through a season, you know, with the COVID tests, with the protocols and all that. How hard was that to deal with for the whole team?
You know, a lot of guys like myself, you know, just trying to focus on football is coming in as a freshman. You know, it's a lot and, coming from high school to college. And especially with the pandemic going on at the same time, it was a lot. You know, you had to really focus in. You really couldn't enjoy yourself because, you know, you don't know who have COVID. You don't know if you're going to get it. You know, people are afraid to just go outside the box, you know, and you have to stay in the box. But I felt like COVID last year, you know, it wasn't good, you know, just for a first-year player in college, you know, experiencing something like that. And then coming, then, you know, but hopefully this year it'll be better. But it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, you know, coming from high school, saying COVID, and then, you know, having less fans, not getting to experience everything like everybody else got to experience their freshman year.
How helpful was Dr. Goodlett and staff in getting you guys through that?
I say they did a great job. They stayed on us. They still on us about that, but they did a great job making sure we do COVID etiquette things right, you know, like wearing our mask everywhere, being, you know, just everything, being on time for testing, getting tested 3 times a week, we doing everything the right way. But I feel like they did a great job with that and still are doing a great job.
Have time for a few more. Bill Cameron.
Tank, how do you and the guys feel about practice tomorrow with fans there? I mean, there may be as many people there as there were in some of the games last year. It's got to make you guys a little more fired up practice tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be great. You know, just getting the feel in, you know, playing music at practice with the fans there, getting to see us practice, get to see the new atmosphere this year with the new offense, new defense. There's new things here at Auburn. You know, it's going to be great. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm ready to see if they enjoy themselves. I know we're going to enjoy ourselves and have a time in my life because, you know, we haven't got to see that many people, you know, in a long time. So I feel like it's going to be great for us.
Phil Marshall.
You know, it was the same. You know, Coach Cadillac, of course, he's my coach. You know, he teaches me a lot of things. He's been here and done the game. So, but like, just knowing he was coming back, you know, just put a like big breeze. I'm loud, like, okay, you know, he can keep teaching me the ways and the steps to get there. You know, but it was great. It was great that he came back.
How has he meant to you so far,
sir?
What has he meant to you so far, as a coach?
You know, Coach Cadillac, he's a great coach, you know, recruiting me, you know, talking to me through all things and all like that. You know, he's a great coach. I feel like he mean a lot to all the running backs because he treat all us the same. So, you know, he's a great person.
Our last question is from Tom Green.
Hey, Tank, just want to ask you what you thought about Coach Pittman's workout program and how different it was from what you guys did last offseason.
You know, it's big. Like, Coach Pittman is a great, great, great man. You know, he all about hitting it, and we going to hit it. Heavyweight, you know, running, everything like that. We wasn't big on moving a lot of heavyweight last year, but, you know, we move a lot of weight this year, and, you know, it's fun. He's a great coach. He got a good staff with him. I feel like they're strong together, and it's great.
Tank Bigsby spending some time with the media a little earlier as the Tigers get ready for their Saturday practice at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Again, gates are going to open at 11 o'clock, and they're asking folks to enter at gate 12 and then spread out there in the stadium. And I'm expecting a good crowd there for the practice tomorrow.
I would think between the novelty of Auburn having an open practice and the weather, I hope folks take the opportunity to go see the team tomorrow.
A lot of folks just didn't get a chance to see any live football last year. I mean, that's in person. I mean, so we'll see. Well, the first SEC team to exit the NCAA tournament is the Tennessee Vols.
That's right, a team that was the preseason title favorite,
mm-hmm.
in the SEC and one of the among, you know, perceived as one of the nation's top 10 or 15 teams coming into the season, and their season ends with what has to be a disappointing exit in the first round of the NCAA tournament, losing to Oregon State, a team that hasn't won a tournament game in 40 years.
Well, now they have, and they won it handily. I mean, they led throughout and led by double figures most of the ball game, and they win it 70-56.
And think about this: of Oregon State, Ohio State, and Oklahoma State, we're a Liberty win away from Oregon State being the last one standing in the NCAA tournament. How you want to make that prediction? Prediction 2 weeks ago, back when Oregon State was a sixth.
No, I didn't have Oral Roberts. No, I didn't have that one. I had Oregon State, and I've got Liberty. I've got a 12-13 matchup.
Oregon State and Georgetown were both games, you know, that immediately, you know, when the bracket was revealed, I was really intrigued to see how. And Georgetown's the first game tomorrow. Georgetown, Colorado, mm-hmm. opens tomorrow's action. But those are major conference teams that wouldn't have made the NCAA tournament without winning their conference tournament. And they played so well last weekend. It's a question of how much of that can they carry through into Indianapolis. Indications are Oregon State's still, you know, they still have the wind at their sails like they did in the Pac-12 tournament as they bounce Tennessee. They're a win away from the Sweet 16. We'll see what happens with Georgetown, who looked so great in the Big East tournament last weekend when they face Colorado tomorrow morning.
334-321-1390, the number to get you through. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. We'll go ahead and get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports here on the Friday Drive.
You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the afternoon of the week. Here on The Drive.
What a week, too, right?
Oh man. It's been a long week. I'm very thankful that it's Friday. Looking forward to the weekend. Looking forward to watching a lot more basketball. All right, the SEC 2-1 today. Three more SEC teams to play. We're halfway done. Who is the most likely to win? Who's the most likely to lose? Alabama obviously is the most likely to win because they have Iona.
Yeah, I mean,
the next SEC team to go down?
Well, Alabama would be the shocking one because they're a big favorite over number 15 Iona. LSU and Missouri, I think, are both in sort of coin flip games, right? I mean,
and as a matter of fact, I've got LSU beating Michigan in one of my brackets. I've got them losing to St. Bonnie. And the other.
That's a game.
That's what I think of LSU.
That LSU-Michigan game, if they can get to it, was one that we've been talking about all week. And we've had a couple of analysts just bring it up unprompted as something that from this weekend of action, as we, you know, the road to the Sweet 16, what's a game potentially that could be, you know, a really... an unexpected great game or you know, an upset in the making. And LSU, if they can get to the next round and play the Michigan Wolverines, that seems like a game where, you know, the talent discrepancy isn't there like it normally is in a 1-8 or a 1-9. Mm-hmm. LSU's better.
They have worlds of talent.
Right. I mean, and I suppose North Carolina is in the same boat if they can get into the if they can get into the round of 32. You know, Baylor isn't the gulf in talent between Baylor and North Carolina isn't probably what it should be in a 1-8. And those teams are always a little bit dangerous. I don't think Florida's the next SEC team going home. I'll tell you that because they win today and they
probably not. I had them out today, but I had no idea. Yeah, but sure, I would still favor them over Oral Roberts.
I would think Florida has a great opportunity to go to the Sweet 16 somewhat mm-hmm. unexpectedly. I don't know how many people watched Florida this year and said,
That's a Sweet 16, especially without the preseason SEC Player of the Year.
Right. I don't think that's a team that people have looked at as a Sweet 16 team, and yet, as is the case in the NCAA tournament, things can happen, and the Florida Gators now just need to beat the number 15 seed Oral Roberts Golden mm-hmm. Eagles to get to the Sweet 16. That game's going to be on Sunday.
And then there's that team that we always forget in the SEC, and that's Missouri. Although, yeah. I mean, and that's another 8-9. Matchup.
Yeah, I think they could beat Oklahoma.
I think they could.
Oklahoma's been leaking some oil. I don't think Missouri, if Missouri were to beat Gonzaga, like that would stun me.
That'd be about as big a shock as there's ever been.
Right. I mean, in the face of Oral Roberts beating Ohio State, you know, maybe that's, maybe by the numbers that won't be as big of an upset, but I can't imagine. I mean, there's no reason to go into that game like in Missouri's chances if they can get to a matchup with Gonzaga. Are we talking about how many SEC teams when the show is over on
Sweet 16
on Monday? Yeah, how many of these SEC teams are going to move on?
Well, like you said, I've got to like Florida's chances.
Arkansas's got Texas Tech.
There's a chance.
There's a pretty good chance. There are three seed.
I've got Arkansas over Texas Tech.
Right. So Arkansas
and Alabama should
LSU. Potentially, if LSU can get past St. Bonaventure in Michigan, they could.
Yeah,
join.
I mean, they've got to get past.
They
got
to get past Michigan.
I'd say it's not unlikely that the SEC has at least three.
At least three.
Three Sweet 16.
And that's a pretty good year.
For, oh, for yes.
When you get three to the Sweet 16, potentially potentially more than that, depending on what happens with LSU and Missouri. But yeah, it sure looks like Florida and Arkansas have matchups that they can navigate to get there. Although Arkansas Texas Tech will be a good game. I mean, that's a good Texas Tech team that's been battling in the Big 12 all season long. But we'll see. And speaking of the Big 12,
yeah, midway through the first half, Liberty leading Oklahoma 15-10.
The Flames, and could Oklahoma State go down in flames?
It's been a pretty good athletic year for Liberty, hasn't it?
Right, and Oklahoma State, a team that wasn't supposed to make the postseason this year, appealed their one-year postseason ban and did so believing they thought they had a team that could really make some noise in the postseason. Could it go up in smoke, Bill, against the Liberty Flames?
It very well could. It is a great time of year. I mean, there's so much going on. We appreciate you being with us here on this Friday. Enjoy the weekend, some of you. I'm sure we'll see each other at practice tomorrow, and we'll be back on Monday. Yeah, that's right. You'll be here.
I'll be here for the start of the show.
Brian Matthews will be in as we recap this wild weekend. And, hey, there'll still be, you know, teams being determined to get to the Sweet 16 when we come on Monday. But have a great weekend. We'll talk to you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.